All right, man, welcome back to Church Online. Man, we have been in the book of Jonah, and what a journey we've been on. We learned that Jonah did not want to obey the Lord, and so when he didn't obey the Lord, he ran. And when he ran, he paid for a boat fare and took off, and all of a sudden a great storm came, right? And then the guys on the boat were freaking out. Everybody was crying out, and they finally found Jonah sleeping in the bottom. And they said, "What's the problem here?" And he said, "I'm the problem. God's causing this storm, and like we're all going to perish if you don't throw me over." And so we started seeing that Jonah was a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Soon as they threw him over, all of a sudden the storm ceased and there was peace. And these men began to call on the name of the Lord. Well, the Bible says in Jonah 1:17 that God, the Lord, prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And this is what we see. It ends chapter 1 and we go into chapter 2 and we find out that Jonah dies. Like, this whale swallows him. In 3 days, he's down in the depths, right? And last week we covered this and all kind of a beautiful Matthew chapter 12. Jesus says, "Hey, my death, burial, and resurrection is, if you want to really see it, look at Jonah." Because he was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, just like Jesus Christ went to the belly of hell. So last week we covered that real heavy in chapter 2 that Jonah died, just like Jesus died. It's true. He died a terrible death. And then he's crying. He's praying to the Lord. The Lord brings him back to, and it says in Jonah chapter 2 in verse 9, "Salvation is of the Lord." Verse 10 says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." I'd like to just finish chapter 2 today. You ready? Let's pray. Lord, I pray this goes smooth, that we can understand it. Holy Spirit, that you would be the main teacher here. Bring this chapter to life and breathe life into us. Amen. All right, man. The first point I want to make today is that, you know, sometimes you think the main character, the book's called Jonah. You'd think the main character is like Jonah. And now all of a sudden we got this great fish. That's what it says in, the Lord prepared this great fish. And all of a sudden, you know, it eats Jonah and then God speaks and then it vomits him out, you know, and like. But what you find more than anything in this book is, you know what you keep finding? The title, "The Lord." The Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, he goes through this awful death. He's crying out to the Lord. And then verse 9 says this, "Salvation is of the Lord." Yeah, that's right. He's the Lord. Salvation, deliverance only comes from him. You ain't going to get it on your own. Jonah is in deep trouble. Verse 10 says in chapter 2, "And the Lord spake unto the fish." See, the main character here is the Lord. Don't get fooled because the Bible says it's a great fish, or Matthew 12 says it's a whale. No, what we have here is a greater God, the Lord. The fish is great, but God prepared the fish. He created this fish. You know, it says that salvation is of the Lord in Jonah 2:9. You know, Ephesians 2:8-9 says that we're not saved by our works, are we? Nope, we're saved by faith through grace. It's what Jesus has done. Salvation's of him. I don't know if you realize this, but even in John chapter 12, if you want to, go to John chapter 12. And man, this is a good time of year to talk about this verse. John chapter 12 and verse 24 says this, "Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." You know, we're going through harvest right now. So you see all these crops up and farmers. You know how this all started? And you would just think it started like with, like a live seed, right? And now all of a sudden you see things getting brown and they're going to harvest. And now it's like starting to die. Well, actually, that's not true. You know, the Bible says those seeds every farmer plants, they have to die. They're dead when they go in the ground. That's what makes this so miraculous. Very few farmers, you'll find people that are in the ag industry that are atheists. Because most of them know, man, they put the seed in the ground. The Bible says if it's dead, it'll produce fruit. You know, that goes to show you something. Salvation is of the Lord. He's the life giver. He's the Lord, man. Jonah was in trouble. None of this would have taken place if it wasn't for the Lord initiating all of it. So just to let you know that salvation is of the Lord. The main character here is the Lord. Do you remember that story in 1 Kings chapter 18? This is the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Remember, they were trying to see who's the greatest, and these prophets of Baal put their, you know, their sacrifice down. They start calling on their gods and said, man, come on, consume the sacrifice. And man, they just cried and cried and cried. They eventually started cutting themselves and doing crazy things. And, you know, of course, Elijah's on the side going like, maybe your gods are sleeping. You know, he's poking fun. Well, what was crazy about Elijah? He put the wood on the altar. There's a trench around. It says in 1 Kings 18:33, he poured water upon all of it, all the wood. That's not good. Wet wood. You ever go camping and have wet wood? I have. It's not good. Good in the smoker if you can get it going. But then verse 34 says they did it again a second time. They drenched everything. They put so much water on the altar, on the wood, that eventually it says even the trenches around were filled with water. And then in verse 38, you know what happens? The fire of the Lord comes down. Bam! See, God does his best work in impossible circumstances. He is the Lord. He's the Lord, right? This is his proper name. You know, even in the story when you read with Jonah, like it says in verse 10 of chapter 2, the Lord spake unto the fish. God, the Lord, spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah out. See, God just speaks and it happens. He's the Lord. We're doing a remodel over in our children's building right now. And one of our guys, man, he's building walls and putting sheetrock up. And you know what's wild is he's doing this work and he's creative and he's got some skills. But you know, somebody a long time ago cut down some trees. That's right. They cut them down and then they started making these 2x4s. Eventually they sold them to a lumber yard, but somebody else dug up minerals from the earth and eventually they melted them all down and made these screws and nails in some factory somewhere. Somebody somewhere put some baby powder together and smashed it into sheets and made some sheetrock, something like that. And then they had to get a semi truck. Somebody built a semi truck somewhere, figure out how an engine works. Somewhere in the nation, and they shipped it in, and somebody from the Middle East ordered like barrels of crude oil, and they refined those to make some sort of fuel to put in the truck to get the sheetrock, to get the lumber to the lumber yard. And then, you know, Dan, he learned some skills from a bunch of people growing up, and eventually he went to the lumber yard, but somebody in this state had to fix the roads. The roads weren't smooth. They figured out a way to make asphalt and make it smooth so he could drive his truck with the fuel in it to get there. And besides that, when he got to the lumber yard, they wanted money for all this stuff. You know, somebody from our church got an education. They got some experience. They got a job. They made money. God burdened their heart to pay for this stuff. And they put money in the church offering box. And Dan took that money and went and paid for these materials. And then I think he gets here, uses his skills, uses all that money. The whole time he's doing it, he's sucking oxygen so he could live and breathe and do that. He didn't create, who did that? That's wild, isn't it? Yeah, my point is this. All of this stuff has had to happen. There are so many details in this process for us just to get a little wall built and get a little door in our children's building. Isn't that wild? God speaks and it happens. Like, you know, you think, oh man, it's the creation. So now God had to gather materials. No, he spoke those things into existence. Do you realize what we're dealing with here? We're dealing with the Lord, man. The Lord spake unto the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. God speaks, man. He is the Lord. The main character ain't Jonah, the great prophet of God. Yeah, we're going to see what he is at the end of this story. The thing here is not this whale. You know, we like to watch movies about that, and we like to see things that are impossible and monster type of things that are bigger than mankind. There is nothing bigger than the Lord. I don't know if you look at his attributes in the Bible, unbelievable. The Bible says he's eternal. Our God is eternal. Yeah, life is short for us. We're just temporary. But John 1:1 says, in the beginning, that's right, he was there. He's eternal. Our God is all powerful. This is the Lord we're dealing with here. You see disease, you see death, everything in nature. God is in charge and he's in control. Human beings, we are out of control. He's all powerful. He's eternal. He's all knowing, man. Our God knows our thoughts. God knows the future. You and me, yeah, we don't know nothing, man. We're afraid of everything. We're scared of the unknown, actually. You know, God is present everywhere, the Bible says, everywhere. And you and me, we try to multitask and do things. We just get jacked up, right? The Bible says in Psalms 139 and verse 7, he is always everywhere. You cannot escape his presence. You know why? He's the main character. He's the Lord. He's unchanging, right? We want to be consistent in our lives. We struggle with that. God, he is unchanging, man. Hebrews 13:8. He is righteous, man. He is just, right? He hates sin, man. Judgment's in his hand. We as human beings are always wrong. The Lord is always right. That's why he's called the righteous one. He's righteous. And he is holy, man. I just spit out seven characteristics of the Lord. He is the main character here in this story that we see taking place, right? So we got great whales, but we got a greater God. We got the great prophet of God who's now in rebellion. God's looking at cities and nations and peoples, the creator of the universe. So see, this fish was great, but just note this, God is greater. Now check this out. We looked at the main character. Now is the climax of this story of Jonah, right? Out of these four chapters, we're getting to the climax here, and it's Jonah 2:10. It says, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah out on dry land. The climax of Jonah's story. But here's what's neat about this. We learned last week that Jonah's a picture of Jesus, right? Jesus Christ came and died. He was the sacrifice for us, right? He had a death burial, and today we're talking about Jonah having a resurrection. He was dead, and God spoke, and this great fish spit him out. It's a picture of the resurrection. So this today is not just the climax of the Jonah story. This is the climax of the story of redemption in history. This is the climax of our story. Who would ever think that God would choose vomit to picture his resurrection? Isn't it wild? It is kind of wild. You know what vomit is, right? We all know what that is. And whether it's voluntary or usually it's not voluntary, somebody gets sick, man, and there's something inside that just does not agree. You know, we call it all kinds of things, don't we? People spew, you know, they barf. There's something inside that's not sitting well. As a matter of fact, the Bible even says this in Isaiah 28:8. It says, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness. Do you know what filthiness is? Dung. It mentions two things that are usually very violent, and usually they just come upon people, and people have no control. That's right. Vomit and diarrhea. Two things. You know what it is? It's inside of a person, and it needs to get out. You know what vomiting is? It's ejection with force. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. So usually something is like Leviticus 18:25 says, the land is defiled. The land is so defiled, the Bible says, it'll vomit out her inhabitants. Something, when somebody eats something, it's always eating something. And usually a lot of times it's eating too much. Or you eat something like if you watch that Alone show, people all the time are eating fish and meat, and they don't have the proper, you know, there's no electricity out there. They're trying to keep it good. They'll keep fish around a couple of days, set bacteria sets, and they eat this. All of a sudden, they eat it inside their body. Their body's like, this has got to come out. We can't hold this down. This is impossible. And normally, these people, they end up getting rid of it with force. Nobody likes to vomit, man. This is not good. So in the Bible, we see that when people eat something and it defiles the inside, right? Like people that are full of this, they can't hold it back. Now, if you could hold it back really good, what will happen in the digestive phase, it'll drop to the next level, and that's where people it ejects with force out of the other end. That's right. And God chooses this word, vomiting, to picture and to show the resurrection. The Bible compares vomiting sometimes to a drunken man that drinks what? Way too much alcohol, gets way too much in him, and all of a sudden he's wallowing in it, and all of a sudden it comes up, and it's absolutely disgusting. This is a disgusting topic. Jonah 2 and verse 10 says, "And the Lord spake unto the fish," and you know what it did? It vomited Jonah upon the dry land. Well, here's a little side note. This is just a side point that's pretty incredible. You know, Jonah was the prophet of God. God wanted him to go proclaim and cry out against the wickedness of Nineveh. He did not want to do it. Isn't that crazy? They were in wickedness. God said, go cry against them. I will judge them unless they repent. And all of a sudden here, the prophet of God is in a spot where he's the one that gets vomited out, wouldn't that make him vomit? That would make him puke. That's what he became. There's something beautiful here. In Job chapter 40, Job was a righteous man, right? He was doing what was right. And all the time, his three friends, he was justifying himself in his behavior. And it was true. Until Job chapter 40 and verse 4, the holy, righteous God, the Lord, spoke to him. And you know what Job said then? He didn't justify himself. He said, I am vile. When God speaks, when the Lord speaks, compared to him, we are vile. Or Jonah, maybe bile, I don't know. But Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned, and we fall short of God's glory. All have sinned. We're sinners, man. We were born sinners. So the key for you and me to realize that it says here that salvation is of the Lord. We did do nothing to make us clean. We're nothing. Matter of fact, the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. Like puke, man. That's what we are in our humanness. You know what makes the best preachers, makes the greatest prophets, is the ones that realize who they really are. They're real. You know, Jesus is called the chief cornerstone, right? Of the building, he's the foundation, he's the chiefest cornerstone. But when Paul, who wrote 13 books of the New Testament, I mean, this guy's like the most godly guy like you and me would ever meet. And in 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said, yeah, when it comes to sinners, I'm the chief. He calls himself the chief of sinners. This is what made him such a righteous man. This is why as Christians, we learn to die daily. We die to ourselves because you know what I am? Puke. Yeah. I'm vile. There's no good in me. The Lord saved me. Salvation is of the Lord. So that's just a little side point, man. It makes the best preachers preach out of weakness. You know, I like one of the best titles I like for myself is, because like as a preacher, you're like, oh, I'm a healer. I bring healing to people, preaching the words of God, right? The words of the Lord that bring healing to people's lives. But actually, I'm a wounded man. I've got a lot of scars. I've got a lot of issues deep inside my mind and my heart. I've got all kinds of things wrong with me. I'm a wounded man, but the Lord has saved me. And so he's the Lord. He's the main character in my story. And so what's beautiful, I like to call myself a wounded healer. I can bring healing to people, but I'm still wounded myself. See, because the main character is not me. It's the Lord. And so what makes the best prophets? Puke. That's what makes the best prophets. When Jonah came out as puke, he landed. God put him on dry land. And guess what? He went to Nineveh and gave him the business. And man, some great things took place. Hey, there's a reason God uses vomit and calls it the resurrection, or compares it to being resurrected from the dead, resurrecting up. And I got to show you this, because this is pretty phenomenal. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 says in verse 23, speaking of Jesus, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Verse 24 says this, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Jesus was crucified and died. But the Bible says it was not possible that death could hold him. Hell could not hold him. It was impossible. You ever been so sick? You're like, oh my gosh, I got to puke. Or the other end. I'd rather talk about puke. It seems a little bit more better than talking about the other thing. You're like, oh my gosh. You're like, I can't hold it back. Some people, even it comes on them like, bam, it just happens. You're like, what just happened there? I don't know, but it was like, dude, could you not get to the toilet or to a waste basket? No, it was impossible. It came out now, man. That's how vomit works, doesn't it? The resurrection, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the holy God, he's the Lord, and he took my sin upon himself. He died and went to hell, but guess what? Because he's God and he's the Lord, death, hell, it couldn't hold him. It had to vomit him out, man. It had no choice. This whale, when the Lord spoke and said, vomit Jonah out, there was no choice there. It was violent, man. It was a violent ejection. This is the resurrection. Man, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is what we call the resurrection chapter in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's read verses 13 through 19. The whole chapter is beautiful, but listen at this. 1 Corinthians 15, 13. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. See, it's the resurrection. It's the resurrection that really proved and made him out to be God. The supernatural act of resurrecting somebody from the dead. The wages of sin is death, and we can't do anything about it. But deliverance, salvation, is of the Lord. Says it. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You guys see that the resurrection is a crucial piece to our faith. It's what makes the Christian faith real. We have a God that died in our place. He sacrificed himself for us. And then 3 days later, violently came back to life. He resurrected from the grave. That's right. Death could not hold him, right? The enemies could not hold him back. And so he came back to life, and therefore we can come back to life. That's what this is all about, right? This is the Christian faith for you and me. So just a few points on this, on the resurrection, because this is the climax of our redemption story. One, it's divine power. This is divine power because he is the Lord. Matter of fact, Hebrews 2:14 says that he destroyed him that had the power of death, the devil. Absolutely destroyed him with the resurrection. Ain't that something? Most people would see a great whale and think, man, this is the largest thing I've ever seen, a living thing I've ever seen in my life. This is massive, isn't it? What are we going to do? We're going to trust the Lord is what we're going to do. The Lord is bigger. He's greater. We've seen that this great whale was a picture of the dragon of the devil, right? And so you know what the Bible says on the resurrection? Jesus destroyed him. In John 11:25, it says, Jesus Christ is the resurrection. He is the life. Hey, take your Bibles. Go look at this verse over in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. This is a beautiful verse in verse 15. Colossians 2:15, it says, upon his death and resurrection, it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That's right. He openly made a show of them. Like, this is easy for me. He destroyed him. This resurrection absolutely destroyed the enemy because of his divine power. We've seen in chapter 2 that when he went down to hell, Jonah did, and it said the bars and the gates, and we know that the gates of hell shall not prevail against God's church. You know why they shall not prevail? Because of the Lord, the main character in the story. They'll hold us back, but they cannot hold him back. That's why the Bible uses the term vomit. It's violent. It's an ejection. You can do nothing about it, man. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Try to hold back. I've tried it many a time. You try to hold it back, and eventually you get to the spot where you're like, I can't. That's right. You cannot hold Jesus back from death. You cannot hold him from coming back to life, because he is life. He's the creator of the initiator, the creator of the universe. He made a show of them openly. You ever notice that the apostles in the book of Acts, there's been several times like where Peter and the apostles were put in prison, and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, right, incarnate, the angel of the Lord comes in and just opens up the prison doors. It's like the chain just fell off. He loosened them. One time he even just allowed an earthquake to come in and bust all the bars and the gates, and it just fell out and they're loose. What? Bars? Gates? Prisons? Well, you're dealing with the Lord here. You're not going to hold him back. The gates of hell do not prevail against him. That's why they shouldn't prevail against the church. We should march forward. We are a resurrected people. There's the infatuation today with zombies. People that like, it's like they cannot die. You know, well, it's a little side picture of a Christian. We should live in such a way. Divine power. There is a divine promise. You know, the divine promise, we've seen it back. Do you remember the story of Abraham sacrificing his son Isaac? Do you remember that? He looked at a servant, took his son. He goes, hey, we're going yonder to worship, and we'll see you again soon. That's what he said in Genesis 22:5. We'll see you again. I thought he was going to sacrifice his son. This is the son that God made a promised seed. Abraham and Sarah couldn't have kids. God promised them a kid. Now he has this promised child that God delivered on. And all of a sudden now he says, sacrifice your son to me. Abraham said, well, God, I can trust you. It says over in Hebrews chapter 11, if you read verses 16 through 19, Abraham knew and he believed in the resurrection, that God could bring him back to life again, because this was a miracle child. And that's why me and you believe in the resurrection, don't we? When we are an incorruptible seed, we become born again. We got a seed of promise. God delivers on that, man. And we believe in the resurrection. We just don't have hope of Jesus. This Christianity ain't about morality just in this life. We'd be of men most miserable. We believe in the resurrection. There's a divine promise. Jesus even said before he went to the cross, hey, destroy this temple. 3 days later, I'll rise it. It'll raise again. That's exactly right. There's a divine power, a divine promise. And of course, the divine purpose is this. John 14:19, Jesus says, because I live, you can live. If you receive me, you get the resurrection power. There's a real purpose behind all this. Do you realize there was a boat of people in Jonah chapter 1? They were all going to perish until Jonah died, a picture of Jesus. And then they, bam, instantly started calling on the name of the Lord, and there was a calm. And now we see in Jonah chapter 2 at the end that the fish, God spoke and the Lord spake to the fish and it spit out Jonah. And now because of this, we're going to see next week that he goes into Nineveh. There's a whole city that gets spared and gets delivered from God's judgment. Isn't that something else? There's a divine purpose of the resurrection. Jesus says, I live and now you live. So Jonah's a picture of Jesus, but you and me, Christian, guess what? Practically, I got a piece of the resurrection. I've got spiritual life I'm going to live. I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to die to myself and give that seed out everywhere so people can experience this. Hey, we got to start wrapping this thing up. It says in Jonah 2, verse 9, salvation of the Lord. So verse 10 says, so the Lord spake unto the fish and it vomited Jonah. Beautiful picture of the resurrection. It could not hold him back. Jonah came out, but notice it says it's upon dry land. I like this. I like this for a couple reasons. I want you to take note that notice it didn't say like, well, okay, Jonah, now 3 days have went by, you're dead. I'm going to bring you back to life and put you back on that boat. It didn't put him back on the boat. It put him back on dry land. It put him back on stable ground. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 1 and then 1-2, you'll find out that something happened in there. And this is the first great universal flood that we find. And the Bible says the earth was placed in water. This was the fall of Satan, right? And so the earth was underwater. That's why when God started creating things, it separated the waters and it left the earth there, right? So God's judgment was water. We even seen it with Noah. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 22, when judgment was going to come back down to planet Earth for being so wild, what did God do? He smothered the place in water and everything drowned and he killed it. See, so God's wrath can come with a flood of water. And God's saving comes when he speaks, salvations of the Lord, the water separated and then there was some dry land. Do you remember Noah in the boat? I mean, freaked out. It had never rained before. He's got all these animals and his family in this boat, kept looking out the window. Finally, it was in Genesis chapter 8. Noah seen that the ground was dry. The waters were drying up and there was going to be hope, right? This is God saving the human race again. Do you remember Moses and Israel leaving Egypt? They're running. And all of a sudden, they're escaping and Pharaoh and the armies are coming and they get to the Red Sea. They're like, what are we going to do now? Because it's impossible, right? We don't do well in water. We don't do well up in the air. We don't belong there. Our feet are made for stable ground, right? And all of a sudden, they hit the Red Sea and God's like, lift up your rod. And God miraculously took these waters. It said they stood up like walls and the nation of Israel went straight through on dry ground. It's a beautiful picture of the saving of the Lord. Later, Joshua chapter 3 and verse 17, Israel has to cross the Jordan River and the same thing happens, man. The priests put their feet in the water. They're like, how's this going to happen? All of a sudden, water, a picture of God's judgment, a drowning. That's why the Bible says if you want to sin and die a sinner, eventually you're going to end up in a lake of fire. You're going to drown, man. That's your soul will be always in a state of being lost. So I just love how God says at the end, or he vomited Jonah out, but he put him on dry land. He was so unstable. When he started running from God, he got unstable. He got on a boat. You ever been on a boat, man, when it starts really, the waves start going? I don't do very good, man. I didn't grow up that way. So when I get on a boat, I get a little spooked sometimes, you know. And it's like, it's so unstable that all of a sudden they threw him over. A whale swallows him. You talk about unstable and then takes him down to hell and eventually he dies. And all of a sudden, when God brought him back to life and he does some repentance and says, God, I will bow. You know what happens? He gets vomited up. And the Bible says he is placed on some calm, man, on some control, on some dry ground. His feet now have some stability. It's still going to be scary. He's still going to struggle, doesn't want to go to Nineveh, but he's going to obey the Lord and he's going to do this thing. So we had three big points today, really. We've seen one, the main character is the Lord. Right? Then we've seen the climax of Jonah's story, which is the climax of the redemption story in humanity, and that is the resurrection, man, the great climax. And then we end here with this, him getting spit out on the dry land. So there's now, like he was so out of control, now there's a sense of control. Don't you love the fact that the Lord speaks and it happens, man? He spoke and this fish had no choice but to vomit him out, man. What a beautiful picture of the resurrection. Death and hell could not hold him back, man. Hey, today, live this resurrected life. Let's learn some great stories here from the life of Jonah. And now we're going to see next week what he does next. Now that this miracle story happened in his life, there's a real purpose behind the resurrection. It's the same purpose for you and me. We've got to go proclaim to the world. So thanks again, man, for joining us online. I hope you're enjoying the story of Jonah.
We are the Maple City Baptist Church. Thanks for joining us for Church Online. I hope you enjoy the series on the Book of Jonah. The newest message drops every Saturday night at 7. If you like what you're hearing, there's more. We're on several social media platforms. Links are in the description below. Thanks again for watching.